Good morning, East Brainerd Church family. Great to see everybody today. It is Super Bowl Sunday. That means all roads are leading to New Orleans, Louisiana. More than 120,000 people are expected to travel to New Orleans for tonight's game. Now, that is nothing compared to the 120 million people who are expected to actually watch tonight's game between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Half of that number are just tuning in hopes of seeing Taylor Swift, honestly. I mean, that's really why people are watching. You can actually bet on how many times the pop sensation is going to appear on the Fox broadcast. There's also a drinking game attached to Tay-Tay's appearances. I wouldn't recommend doing either. I'm just telling you what's out there. Okay? I'm just being a conduit for you. Now, when I think about New Orleans, there's a couple of different things that come to mind for me. I remember how that after our wedding, Tanya and I struck out for the Crescent City on our honeymoon. And I know, just proof that I had hair once. We had this book about this tall in our car with us called a map book. We had some snacks. There was no cell phone, and guess what? We made it. We did. We made it all the way from North Central Alabama to New Orleans, and it was a great trip. It was the first time Tanya ever ate at Sonic in her life. Yeah, we stopped at this little town in Mississippi, and they had a Sonic that was all... We couldn't pull up on our phone to find out, like, what restaurants, you know, are close by. We were just hungry and pulled off on an exit, and there was a Sonic, and she was like, look, this is really cool. You just pull up and wait for 30 minutes to get your food. This is great. It was really cool. And so we did. We went on our honeymoon to New Orleans. But we knew that it could be done because when we were in college, a group of friends decided that they wanted to drive to New Orleans and watch the sunrise while eating beignets at Café Du Monde. So they loaded up and drove through the night for about 400 miles. They ate beignets and then drove back in time for afternoon classes. They did. Because few phrases, I think, ignite passion and stir imagination like hearing that somebody wants to take a road trip. One of the guys that went, he said he didn't know where they were going. He just knew that a group was going somewhere, and he wanted to be a part of it. And so he went, and he got to watch the sunrise in New Orleans while eating beignets at Café Du Monde. One day, our son Micah called and said that he and some friends were going to be coming into Chattanooga one Friday night. They were not going to stay. They were on a road trip to see one another's hometowns. And so they came in that Friday night. They went downtown and ate along the river and then went to the Little Debbie Park. They stopped by our house for just about an hour. And then they headed off at about midnight to their next destination. Now I know that for some of you, if you start thinking about having an unplanned, spur-of-the-moment trip, you have to reach for anxiety meds. I mean, that is just way too much for you. It is outside of your comfort zone. But others of you love the spontaneity, right? And you love the opportunity for adventure. In fact, when Emily and Jax get married on October 18th, coming up of this year, they chose that date because that is National Adventure Day. Yeah. And they look at their relationship and the wedding that's coming and the marriage that is being a grand adventure for them. One big road trip. So here's what I want to know. What has been your favorite road trip? Okay? I just want you to look at the people around you. I want you to tell them, where have you gone? What crazy thing have you done? And if you haven't done anything, I want you to listen to what the crazy people around you have done. Okay? So just turn around, tell somebody, where have you gone? What's your biggest road trip that you've been on? Some of you have done some really wild things. Because I would hear you share where it is that you have gone, and all of a sudden I hear this cackling laugh from people spread out here in the auditorium. Right? I don't know if you knew this, but by the time of Jesus, faithful Hebrews had been making a road trip three times a year to Jerusalem. They've been doing this for generations in order to be able to enjoy special celebrations. Passover was in the spring. You've probably heard of that particular celebration. And then the early summer, there was a celebration known as Pentecost. Maybe you've heard of that as well. One that is not as well known was the Feast of Tabernacles, which would take place in the fall. You see, the Hebrews were a people whose salvation had been secured in the Exodus and whose identity had been defined at Sinai. They had been preserved by God and had assurance given to them for 40 years in the wilderness. And as such people, they regularly climbed to Jerusalem in order to be able to celebrate. And since Jerusalem was the highest point there in Palestine, it was a literal ascent that the people went on. And it was also a great metaphor for their life. The trip to Jerusalem acted out a life that was lived upward, moving toward God. Between the feasts, the people lived the realities of daily devotion until the time came to go back up the mountain, back up to that mountain city again as pilgrims and renew the covenant. Now, in our Western society, we don't really use the language of pilgrim or pilgrimage anymore. When talking about pilgrims, our minds, well, we think about Puritan-hatted men and women eating turkey and dressing. But to pilgrim means to spend our lives going someplace. We're moving. And as for students of Jesus, to pilgrim means to spend our lives going and moving towards God. I think it's the ultimate road trip. It's a journey that may or may not have its completion in this life. This long obedience in the same direction, as it's been called, exists in tension with our AI-conditioned, quick and efficient, results-oriented lifestyle. We have a hard time growing and changing these days. Our attention span has been conditioned by 30-second TikToks. Our sense of reality has been flattened by summaries that now we can just hit a button and have a whole email summarized, a whole web page, a whole paper online that is just reduced to bullet points. And as a result, it's extremely difficult. It's hard to sustain a person's interest in traveling towards God. We say, give me the experience, but not the apprenticeship. Show me Jesus. But don't hold me to acting like Jesus. Many people today approach religion with this tourist mindset. Religion is understood as a visit to an attractive site that can be made when I have adequate time. For some of us, it's a weekly trip to a building like this for some type of religious experience. Others visit less occasionally for some special service. Some have a desire for religious entertainment and plan their lives around different trips like retreats and rallies and conferences. We go to see a new personality or to hear a new truth or to gain a new experience in order to somehow get a spiritual adrenaline rush. The religious life is defined by the latest and newest podcast or parapsychology or faith healing or self-improvement. And people today, man, we will try anything until something else comes along. We've adopted the lifestyle of a tourist, and we only want the high points when it comes to the relationship that we can have with God. So look, I know that an invitation to go now on a spiritual road trip can be in contradiction to our conditioning. We would much rather experience some kind of holy zap where, as John Mark Comer calls it, we get the matrix theory of spiritual formation. Well, why can't we just strap ourselves to a chair and get some kind of download that will fix all of our problems, whatever's wrong with us, and then we instantly begin to think and act like Jesus? Wouldn't that be cool? And yet, we read through Scripture, and there is not an instance in Jesus' story where he simply just waved his hand and took away an ugly habit or a personality trait in any of those people who were his apprentices and students. In fact, the opposite is actually true. We see their stubborn sinfulness live on for years. And Jesus never zapped them. He just kept teaching and rebuking and loving and giving them time to grow and mature as they traveled the road together. So like those Hebrews who would journey to Jerusalem, I want us to think about our walk with God as being or as engaging in a road trip. A road trip that we are on towards God. Unlike the Hebrews, our trip does not end in ritual, but in transformation. Our goal is to follow the way, Jesus, becoming agents of God's healing and liberating grace along the way. Now look, I know that no road trip is complete without traveling music. Before we hit the road, we have to always make sure that we have our playlist. So, and I know if I haven't already dated myself enough with the picture I put up earlier, I grew up listening to 8-track tapes of the Statler Brothers on every vacation. Yeah, I was that kid, all right? I was that kid. Now, my kids were treated to 80s on 8. Bon Jovi and Bryan Adams and REO Speedwagon, Huey Lewis and the News, Van Halen. Now, that's my soundtrack, all right? So here's what I want to know. What is yours? I just want you to yell out. So somebody tell me, what is it that you listen to when you go on a road trip? What do you got to hear? What is it? Huey Lewis and the News. Thank you. Right. I heard somebody say disco down here, guys. Really. And it could be because of the way they drive. Staying alive. Right. I don't know. But we all have music that we listen to when we start our road trip. Now here's the cool thing. We actually have the Spotify list for the Hebrew pilgrims. Their songs of ascent, as they are known, are recorded for us in the book of Psalms 120 through 134. These are the songs that they sang as they ascended to Jerusalem for these great worship festivals. They contain words of encouragement and testimony. They teach and they admonish. They celebrate the journey and they anticipate the destination. Think about this. As a child, Jesus would have been singing these songs with Mary and Joseph and members of the extended family. Later, he would join with Matthew and Mary and Martha and James and John, and they would all lift up their voice singing these hymns just as their ancestors had done. They are brief hymns that provide courage and support and inner direction for anyone that is on a journey towards God. So I thought, hey, what if we, just for a few weeks, what if we could be encouraged on our road trip by listening to this ancient playlist? That's what we're going to do. Open up your Bibles, find Psalms, and turn to the one that is numbered 120. Psalm 120 is where we're going to begin our listening, all right? Psalm 120. It says, I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him, and he answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How will he increase your punishment? You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. How I suffer in far off Meshech. It pains me to live in distant Sidar. I'm tired of living among people who hate peace. I search for peace. But when I speak of peace, they only want war. Now, I know that might not sound like a great song. Trust me, it sounds even worse in Hebrew. But it's the song of a person that is sick with the lies of this world and crippled by the hate that pours out from every mouthpiece. But more than an outcry, it is the starting point for a journey to God. This is the song that the pilgrims would begin with as they would strike out towards Jerusalem. And it's the song of a person who has become thoroughly disgusted with the way that things are. And this is where they find the motivation to go out on this road trip. But as long as we think that the next election might right every wrong, or the next scientific breakthrough will save the environment, or another pay raise is going to take care of all of my anxiety, then we are not likely to risk a faith journey. Author Eugene Peterson said, A person has to get fed up with the ways of the world before he or before she acquires an appetite for the world of grace. This is a song for the fed up. It's a song for people who are ready to get out of Dodge and to go somewhere else. It's a song for the person willing to begin a journey towards God. So as the psalm begins, there's a declaration. I took my troubles to the Lord, and he answered. And so we ask, well, what are the troubles that this traveler has? Well, the distress that begins and ends this song is the painful awakening to the fact that, well, the traveler has been lied to and is surrounded by people that do not share in their interest. The world is not as it has been represented. We've been lied to actually from the beginning. You and I as well. Because we have been told, especially now, this is what our teenagers are hearing, that you know what? Humans are basically nice and good people. Everyone is born equal and innocent. The world is a pleasant and harmless place. And anything different is not our fault, but someone else's. And we can correct it all if we can just get a little bit more intelligence, just give a little bit more effort, spend a little bit more time. These lies are craftily disguised as truth, and it has given us all a distorted view of ourselves and others. So we turn up the volume as we sing along. Rescue me from liars and from all deceitful people. Rescue me from the lies of advertisers and algorithms that claim to know what I need and what I desire. Rescue me from the influencers who promise a joy through clicks and likes. Rescue me from the politicians who pretend to feel my pain. From the lies of psychologists who offer to shape my behavior and morality so that I will be successful and happy. Rescue me from the legalist who promises salvation through rules. Rescue me from the person who talks about life but omits Jesus, who is wise in the ways of the world but ignorant of God's Spirit. Friends, we're surrounded by voices that claim to tell us who we are but it omit everything about God. They talk about the world without telling us about the God who made it. They talk about our bodies without telling us that they are temples of the Holy Spirit. They tell us to love and accept one another without telling us about the God who loves and accepts us. You see, this song is a reminder that saying yes to God's truths and heading out on a road trip towards God naturally entails saying no to the lies of this world. The religious word for this is repentance. It means to have a change or a turning of the mind. See, repentance is not an emotion. It's not a feeling where I'm sorry because of something that I have done that is bad. Repentance instead is a decision. It's a decision that I have been wrong about the direction of my life. That I've been wrong about being my own God. Wrong in thinking that I could just get enough education and training to make it on my own. Wrong in believing that the only way to stand tall is by crippling others. Repentance is deciding that God, through Jesus and the Scriptures, has actually been telling me the truth all along. Telling me the truth about who I am and who the world is around me and the purpose that I should have for my life. And I know this recognition, this kind of repentance, this changing of a mind, it naturally puts me at odds with other people. And I'm left being like this guy that you're going to see. He bought tickets for the Orange Bowl, thinking that that is where Ohio State was playing this year in the college football playoff, only to arrive in Miami and discover the game was actually between Penn State and Notre Dame. He didn't know. Talk about being alone, right? No matter what direction he looked, he was surrounded by people who shared different goals and values. They wore strange clothing and they spoke a different language. Their plans and their priorities did not align with his. He could have sang with the psalm writer, I suffer in far off Meshech. It pains me to live in distant Sidar. See, it's like the Tennessee Vol fan lamenting of having to suffer in Tuscaloosa or having to live in Gainesville. The song is acknowledging how the traveler lives in the midst of hoodlums and savages, people who do not share her God or godly pursuits. And I just have to ask for a minute this morning, do you understand that feeling? Do you understand that feeling? More and more, do you feel alone in your values, in your morality, in your humanity? Do you feel like the world around you is tearing itself apart, and there you are, just caught in the middle, where everywhere you turn, there is some type of argument that's taking place, and you're being asked to choose sides? Are you tired of living among a people who hate peace and seem only to want war? What's a people to do? What's a person to do? What is a student of Jesus to do, I guess, is the best question. Well, there are those who think that maybe we should just cloister ourselves away, retreating to states and neighborhoods and schools and faith communities that share and reinforce our beliefs and values. And because of increased financial means combined with the ease of transportation, people no longer have to live with neighbors or with community groups that might force them to compromise their principles or taste. And so what we're seeing taking place now in our country is that, regardless of religious belief, Americans are clustering with others who are like-minded. And instead of being a good thing, we are experiencing the effects of what is called the law of group polarization. Have you heard of that? The law of group polarization. That is, when like-minded individuals group together, they actually become more extreme and less willing to consider other points of view, and more likely to sacrifice truth in order to be accepted within that group. And I think we have to ask ourselves, is being unwilling to be neighbors with someone with different principles and taste really what Jesus intended of his people? What did those who first sang the words of Psalm 120 do when faced with the reality that they had been lied to and that they were surrounded by people who did not share their interest? Did they themselves also try to cluster away? Well, I think the answer is right in the beginning of this song. It says they took their troubles to the Lord. They took a road trip. Yes, that they left where they were living for a moment and they went to the mountain of God to celebrate Him. Picture in your mind a group of people marching. They're fed up with the conditions of this world. They're tired of being lied to and manipulated. They're not seeking a revolution but peace. So they pilgrim towards God, praying that God's will would one day become reality in this world. They go to Jerusalem to celebrate and praise the God who had rescued, claimed, and sustained their lives. And having done so, they then return to their homes, believing that God's judgment would come to all the hoodlums and the savages, that all those who had been lying and all those who had been trying to change their mindset, that all those people would be pierced by God's arrows. You see, they made a decision that they would go toward God. The decision did not transport them to some idyllic Eden. They still had to do life in a world that did not respect their religion or champion their values. They still had to raise their children in a pagan environment. And they were confronted daily with their cultures, lies, and seductions. But the truth of God would explain their lives. The grace of God would fulfill their lives. The forgiveness of God would renew their lives, and the love of God would bless their lives. Spending our lives going towards God is the ultimate road trip. And so years later, the Apostle Peter, who himself had sung Psalm 120 while going there to Jerusalem, he wrote to the spiritual descendants of all of those early travelers, and he said, "Dear friends, I want to warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be very careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors." Did you get that? Be careful how you live among those who don't share your values. Be careful how you live among those who think differently from you. Be careful how you live among those who do not agree with you. He says, then, even if they accuse you for doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. And they will one day give honor to God when He again visits us. Friends, we spend our lives either going towards or away from God. We spend our lives either going towards or away from God. And the answer of the direction that we are traveling in is often seen by the way we live among our neighbors. The way we live among those who have believed a lie that we now see truth. The way we live among those who do not share our values. And the way we live among those who wish that we would just be quiet. See, the reality of this world is that injustice, lies, pain, and hatred are commonplace. Our awakening to this reality provides the opportunity for decision, where we have to decide, will I engage in the same tactics of selfishness and violence that has defined humanity since Cain? Or will I repent and join with others who have gone before me and make the trip to the city of God? Repentance is the first step towards a new life. Repentance is me choosing to leave one kingdom for another, choosing to believe God's truths over the world's lies, choosing to spend my life going towards God. It's the ultimate road trip. And it's a trip that I want to invite you all to go on. It's a trip that I want us all to be able to take together, where our journey is a movement towards our Creator. And along the way, in the weeks to come, we're going to be singing the songs of those early pilgrims. We're going to be singing the songs of those who walked the streets and those roads that led to Jerusalem. And in order to be able to celebrate God, we're going to be looking at those very Psalms for encouragement and for strength and for direction in our life. And hopefully to remind us that the road trip that we are on is worth it. And that we need to keep traveling. Because yes, the destination is great. The destination is worth it. But there's also something about the trip. Something about the people that you travel with. You see, when I think about road trips that I've been on in my past, I don't just think about my own experience. I think about those who were in the car with me. I think about the fact that I didn't go on my honeymoon by myself, but thankfully I took my wife. I think about that when I would strike off in college and go to Baton Rouge, or when I went to Athens or Oxford or Columbia, I didn't go to those places by myself. There was always others that went on the trip with me. And I want you to understand that you are not taking this trip following God all by yourself. Everybody that's here, those who are watching us, those who are going to be listening this week, we are on this road together. So guys, pack it up. Turn up the music. And let's go towards God and give Him praise. And this morning, if you need to come for whatever reason it might be, maybe it might be to be baptized into Christ to start your journey, we want to celebrate with you. Or if you would just like to have a time of private prayer, we have a prayer room in our lobby. One of our elders will be there. We're going to talk about the God that makes the way on our journey as together we stand and give Him praise. And if you need to come, please do so as together we stand.